fueling the American spirit.
The Press Box with Brad and Ben.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
On WCCB 105.5 The Roar. La, la,
and now, la, Brad Sinkus and Ben Milstead.
Yeah. What's the deal? Ain't nothing, Paul. We just chilling here.
And hour two, live from the Reserve at Lake Huey, brought to you by our friends at Bennett Equipment and Supply. No matter the task, whether you need to buy or rent, see the pros at Bennett Equipment and Supply. It's a leader in on-the-job sales and rentals. Bennett Equipment and Supply, our friend Eddie Bennett does an amazing job there. Piedmont, Spartanburg, and very soon in Seneca. I love it. If you need to rent it from Bennett. That's Bennett Equipment and Supply.
We just had Robbie Caldwell on the show. You can always count on Coach Caldwell to give you some really good stuff. You know, think back to his trip to SEC Media Days a few years ago when he was at Vanderbilt. And that,
yes,
that certainly, I think, opened up the world to Robbie Caldwell. So we greatly appreciate him coming on. And we're going to have Coach Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator of the Clemson Tigers, is about to join us live here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
That's right. And actually today, if you miss any of these interviews, you can get them on WCCPFM.com, on our SoundCloud. We'll tweet out all the links. We'll put together a playlist of all these interviews just for your convenience. So if you miss any, don't worry. Obviously, tune in now, but we'll have them all online shortly.
Yeah, definitely tune in now because you don't want to miss this live.
Or listen to them again.
You don't want to be like me and it's Tuesday and I still haven't watched the Game of Thrones season premiere. You don't want to be like that because I basically can't go on Twitter right now.
That's right. And if you miss, let's say you miss the Venables interview, you can't talk to your friends about what Coach Venables said. So you need to listen now and then you can listen back.
That's very good.
Get some key points.
I'm intrigued here because, in years past, it's been the three layers of the defense that get a lot of good publicity. This year we talked about second level, third level. It seemed like the ACC media was disrespecting a little bit. We'll see if Brent Venables has some thoughts on that.
What's that?
What's up, Coach V?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're excited to get things kicked off here?
Yeah, it's that time. So vacation for me is always it's always a very transitional thing. never easy. And so I made a mistake the last couple of summers. I haven't gone on vacation when vacation starts immediately. So it's my I'm thinking a year. I'm planning a year ahead of time now, and I'm going to make sure that I am leaving to go on a true vacation the very day that we started. So it's easier to unplug that way.
What? But how much does it help, though, that you know a lot about the guys you've got coming back? When you get started here in a couple of weeks, you know a lot about your roster. You've been through spring with most of those guys. Mm-hmm. Does that give you a different comfort level throughout the offseason?
I always think about worst-case scenario. So, I think the first, group of guys, when we figure that out, which I feel very confident, we're going to have 11 really solid players. It's really, I think about the depth issues, playmaking issues, lack of experience issues. Those are the things that jump out to me because that's what you have to plan for. At some point in time, you're going to have to deal with that. And, it will reveal itself good or bad at some point in time. And so that's what, to me, the sense of urgency needs to be, is in having a few meetings with our guys here throughout the course of the summer. That's been really the big talk. And, it's easy. Yeah, we have a next man up mindset, but it's every player's different, leadership quality. Toughness, a commitment, it's not always the same and with each guy. And so I don't ever take that for granted. And, I know where the issues are. And and that's what I get consumed with, not how great this player that's proven to be a really good player, how great he can be. I don't really spend any time thinking about that. It's really the underlying issues that are going to rear its ugly head at some point in time. And so you really try to, whether it's preventive maintenance or really trying to stress situations, players, schemes, combinations of players to try to make improvement, to bridge the gap, to expose itself, good or bad. And so that's where our focus will be, you know, as a staff.
Coach, you bring up leadership, and you lose guys every year. That's the nature of college football. You lose a Ben Bulwer, and we don't want to focus on last year by any means, but who do you think is going to be kind of that heart and soul of the defense this year?
Well, you know, as we all know, Ben led so loudly, whether that was, you know, in how he vocalized things or just how he played, you know, with passion and energy. That's leadership, and players fed off of that. And so that was his style, and it'll be hard to replicate that. Carlos Watkins was terrific. One in serving his teammates and helping young players. Sure, he was a great player and played his best football at the end of his career. But, you know, he also was a great leader and was just, whether that's taking good hard coaching the right way, that's a leadership skill. To help young players, you know, like Christian and Dexter, amongst others, transition, Cleland, you know, all those things. So, you know, you try to, as coaches, you know, the leadership just doesn't happen. Again, some guys are more natural than others, but that's not the norm. The norm is guys don't quite know what to do. And so as coaches, you try to nurture and foster that growth, and you do it immediately when the season's over. So hopefully, you know, again, ultimately, you know, we'll see. You know, we can't lead for them, and we have to, you know, be the example. But when it's all said and done, the best teams and the best units that we've all been around are one that are player driven, player led, and whether or not you have as many of them or not, you don't know, and really until the bullets are flying, you know, to really, when guys are stressed, now what are you going to do? You know, now are you willing to lead? How do you handle the adversity? You know, just go down the laundry list of opportunities there will be to lead when it's, whether it's how we finish here, these next, you know, leadership got to step up and drag these guys along. They're kind of, hey, does this thing ever end? Or are guys coasting through the finish line here? And, you know, so then we start off slow if you have lack of leadership here to finish things. Are guys hungry and focused? And so, and again, how we start up fall camp and all those things. So there's a lot to be that we don't know yet, you know. And here's the thing, you know, until you're in the middle of it, You don't really appreciate it, good or bad. And the hardest thing is sustaining success, sustaining commitment. You know, you start off in your first four or five games, man, guys are coming in all the time. They're sleeping right. They're going to school. They're getting good pumps in. They're going to their massages. They're getting in the playbook, the game plan. They're watching a ton of extra film. And then the season starts to wear on you. Can you sustain, you know, the commitment? And so at the end of the day, you don't really know until, you know, three-fourths all the way to the end of the season. Ben Bulwer imposed his will. Again, I speak from him, as I know him as good as I know any player on our defense, and just working intimately with Ben. But he imposed his will all the way to the very last moment, you know, of his career. And that is a guy that sustained the commitment. And we all know the famous thing that he came out with, the tweet, and hey, man, you know, and I love it. You know, he put a big X on his chest and said, you can count on me. I got you. You know, you don't have to worry about this guy right here and what I'm fixing to do. And then he backed it up with his actions. And that's a little rare. It really is. And so, again, to replicate that, we'll see. You know, it's hard. It's, and just, again, sustaining the grind is really hard. And all those guys are on the fringe, whether they lack experience, they haven't had to be out there in meaningful situations, guys that we're quote-unquote going to have to count on this year if we're going to have a defense that's worth a flip and a team that's worth any good, that, you know, sustaining that will be the biggest challenge, because it is really hard. It is really hard. It's really hard as a coach to bring your A game every day. And whether it's here or it's anywhere, and you know, to treat Kent State like Alabama, And if you don't, I firmly believe that you're going to get your butt exposed. You're going to get embarrassed. Can you still win? Yeah, yeah. But you can't cheat this game in any way. And you, how you prep, the focus, the intensity, here's how you get ready for a game. This week isn't any different than the next week. Oh, now it's a big game. Okay, lose that game, struggle, and all of a sudden, you know, y'all very humbled. And it doesn't take very much to be on the wrong side of it. So again, there's a lot to be, to be written still about, this team, and whether it's the D-line that everybody wants to say is this. They haven't done anything yet. That unit has done nothing yet. And is to project a guy like Austin Bryant to be a first-round pick, let's just hope he's the starter when we start Kent State. And not by default, that he is like clear heads and above. He is the dude. And, and he's had a great summer, and there's a lot to be excited about. But you got to go do it. Can he sustain? Mm-hmm. He hasn't been able to sustain his career. He's 2 years going on his third year. He hasn't been able to sustain a whole season. The rigors, the wear and tear. He hadn't stayed healthy. I'll use that just a microcosm. So let's not get ahead of ourselves and all of a sudden, he's going to be a first-round pick. You know what a first-round pick? We all know what one looks like, right? We've been at Clemson together, I know, for my 5 years, and them some flat-out dudes. And it's never on potential. It's always on performance, It's one thing to be talked about. Everybody thought Carlos Watkins was going to be a first-rounder. Well, would he go third or fourth?
I can't remember what something. I think third round, fourth round, maybe early fourth round, something like that.
You know how hard it is? There's so many to be a great player. I mean, let's not get great confused with really solid. And really solid, you can win them all with really solid players. I don't want to downplay, but great is great, and great is great all the time. And sometimes whatever's above great, he's that sometimes too. Special. Make all the plays you're supposed to, make all the layups, and then every once in a while, do the 360 and all that. And that's what Vic Beasley did. That's what Shaq Lawson did. Kevin Dodd did that his third year, or whatever it was, fourth year as a junior. And in 2014, we were 10 quality deep dudes up front, like proven depth. Like, I think 8 of the 10 are on active rosters.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a great D-line. And they proved it. In 13, you were like, maybe. And then they played pretty good. And then 14, they dominated. 10 of them. You take those four out, you take those next four, and then you put those other two, and the other two were Dodd and Shaq. Okay? Right? You had 8, and then you had, Dodd and Shaq, whoever, Right? And Shaq played a little more, and he actually started a game or two. It's easy this time of year to, and it's exciting too. And that's what it's all, sometimes it's projection, and because you just don't know, but it's based on, how a guy recruiting, and then somebody gets excited in front of the mic and starts bragging up on a guy before he's really done anything, and then we kind of build him into Bigfoot. And then they either live up to it or not. But it's a process, as we all know. How do you become a really consistent player, let alone a dominant player? Like, you take over the game like Kevin Dodd did his junior year. Like, he was dominant every single game, did not have a bad game. Like, he whooped everybody. Like, whooped them. Like, stayed in the gap. And then ragdolled the guy and then made the play, too.
Right.
And I'm just asking for the guy to set the edge, stay outside. And then if you can do, the above, and now all of a sudden you become a disruptive, great player. And doing it against great people puts you in that great category. And then you're doing it consistently. Not like, he had two great games, okay, or he really showed up and, beat some guy that can't get out of his own way. I'm talking about beating great people, crunch time, making plays, going above and beyond, what the system will feed you. Our system's going to feed the Mike and the Will. You play 13 games a year, you better have about 100 tackles or, you're doing something wrong, okay? I'm going to run you into it. And the same thing, the free safety should have around 80, 85 tackles. Strong safety have around 65. That boundary corner is going to make more plays, going to show up on the stat sheet more than that wide field corner. The closer you get to the ball, the more opportunity you have to be disruptive and show up on the stat sheet. But so anyway, we have a really what I know for a fact today is that our guys have had a good summer up to this point. And just you're able to be around, not able to go to skills and drills, but the things that I've been able to witness, conditioning and the weight room and a few opportunities to meet with the guys and certainly touch base with them frequently. And, you know, they're not going to lie to me. You know, they're going to tell you how it is and, you know, who's coming along and who's doing what and who's been consistent and who's, you know, selling out and who's growing up. You know, we got the, okay, here's this five guys on the hit list. I ain't worried about those other 35, really. You know, I'm assuming that they just, you know, they're going to show up. And they're guys that go above and beyond already. I'm talking about these five guys that we got to help. These are the guys that are going to make the difference for us this year. And if these guys grow up and come along and let you coach them hard and expect more of themselves and want more for their careers than you do as a coach, then now all of a sudden you got something. But if I want Albert Huggins' success more than he does, he's just going to be okay.
Well, and that's interesting. I want to ask you about that because it feels like you're kind of trying to downplay the hype a little bit with those guys up front.
Yeah, I'm just like, I downplay you. I know I'm not, I don't have my head in the sand, but these guys haven't done anything yet. You know, Cleveland Farrell hasn't played, he's not a first rounder right now. That is not who he is yet. Is he capable? Absolutely. But you got to go play to that level. And you show a flash here and you show a flash there. Great. But you got to go do it. And you got to do it all the time. And I want you to lead like whatever first round. I want you to lead first. I want you to be a great player here first. And I want you to be super coachable. I want you to be the guy in there doing all the extras. Be the example, you know. That's what great points do. That's, you know, that's why you can say Ben Bowler is a great college player, man. What a great leader. You know, he's not the first rounder, but man, he was great. And like all of us, he got warts like everybody. You want to nitpick, and all I know is I don't think we would have won it without him. And and whether it's his toughness, his passion, his commitment. You know, he had a leadership quality that others were willing to follow. You know, there's that guy that's always beating his chest and, you know, that's, you know, yelling at the guys and they're sitting there like, this clown needs to get out of my face. Okay, you know, that wasn't him. You know, they guys were attracted to Ben because they saw a purity, a transparency, and, a realism that they could relate to. And then, again, he led by example, you know.
At the linebacker spot, do you see some of that in Kendall Joseph?
Well, I mean, not the same loudness.
Right, but that leadership quality.
Absolutely.
Toughness.
Kendall loves it. He's a very selfless player. He's an excellent player. Knows the system very well, experienced, and he values the players around him. And he's got a maturity about him that understands, if I don't lead, who will? Mm-hmm. If I don't study extra and hold these linebacker-only meetings in the summertime to watch film so we got this thing down so we can, you know, give strength calls and we can make the adjustments and we can be an extension to Coach V. If I don't do it, who will? Mm-hmm. And this whole program's going to go down. And when you kind of have that desperation to you in your mindset and how I work, how I think, how I sleep, how I meet, all of those things, then I think you got something special. So, you know, with Kendall, he values all those things, and he has a willingness to commit and serve his teammates that way. And sometimes, and that's hard to do because sometimes you gotta be the guy that it's easy if you can just kind of hang out. I ain't gonna get yelled at. I'm not gonna be on the bad list. I'm just gonna show up. And I'm never going to do above and beyond, but I'm definitely not going to be on the naughty list. That guy, that's easy. You know, that's easy to do that. And so Kendall's never been one to want to blend in. And then he knows, you know, he can't do it alone just like Ben didn't. Ben, you know, Kendall did it with Ben last year. And a guy like Doran O'Daniel has really taken on a strong leadership role that way as well. And has really you know, has been possessed about, you know, wanting to become a great player. And his message to the to all the guys in the defensive room a week ago Wednesday was, don't wait to be great, man. Do it now. And that's what he says he did, you know. And so he wasn't doing all the little things that he needed to again, bridge that gap. Some guys it comes easier to than others. And then some guys got to do a little extra work, man. And that's probably more the norm than not, you know, guys having to do the little things, the extra, you know, coming in on Saturdays and Sundays, stretching, doing a little sprint work and a little footwork and working on your get offs and working, watching some extra film. You know, a guy like Xavier Kelly, I said, Xavier, what? I don't care that you're 6'5 and 265 and you're supposed to run this and all that. I don't care. What do you need to do today over these next 3 weeks to make up for what you don't have and what don't you have? And he goes, oh, I need to be in great shape, and I need to know my plays, you know, I got to have disciplined eyes. I said, so do those things over the next 3 weeks to try to, again, you know, bridge that gap. And you can't just show up, you know, and have experience. So, you know, and do the basics. So he's got a lot to do, you know, to, you know, right now I think he might be on the 2D, you know, that's today. And then a little bit, that's by default. He didn't win the job in the spring. You know, Richard Yergin did. And so what's he going to do? And if he can surprise us and show us that he's better in the spring than he was, or he's better now than he was in the spring, then and we're moving in the right direction. If he doesn't, then somebody else is going to, or you play a 3-4 defense, or you, you know, guys are going to have to play, you know, instead of, you know, 60% of the snaps, they're going to have to play 75% of the snaps, whatever. And so there's a lot of excitement about a lot of those variables because you just don't know yet. And I do really believe, honestly, that our guys have worked incredibly hard, have had a great summer, really on all three levels. I've seen marked improvement. I've seen maturation. I think there's going to be an eagerness and, again, a sense of desperation with so many more guys, like a guy like Tanner Muse. He hasn't played as much as he wants to play. He's ready to prove himself. Mm-hmm. Trey Lamar is ready to prove himself. Shaq Smith is ready to prove himself. J.D. Davis is ready. Jalen Williams played a little bit late, and he wasn't at his best. He's ready to prove that was an aberration. You know, he's going to be ready. And Isaiah Simmons was a redshirt. And it's had just an awesome summer. Marcus Edmonds, bigger and stronger than he's ever been, but hasn't been a guy that's been a full-time starter for a reason. He knows those reasons, just like everybody on our roster knows what their shortcomings have been or the things that they need to do better. There's no gray area whatsoever, and there's not. I don't think that there's this where our guys are walking around, those players that we're talking about that a lot of people don't know a lot about yet. I don't think they're walking around having an overinflated opinion of their ability. I think they know exactly where they are and what they need to do, and hopefully they've, over the last few months, they've worked hard at, you know, again, improving those things.
Coach Venables, thanks so much. I know it's a busy day.
Man, look,
I asked like a quarter of a question. That was great. That's the easiest interview I've ever done.
I had over under on four questions asked. Okay. We got to three.
I think we had three and a half.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Look, you could do that anytime. We'll just call it the Brent Venables monologue. You just go, man. That was great.
How many first rounders do we got on defense?
Well, none right
none,
now.
None. You have to play to that ability, right? Especially first rounders.
That's right.
You got to play like a first rounder. Mm-hmm. And it's all relative to, was it 32 picks? I don't know how many teams.
32.
Yeah. 32 of them. Like, of all the guys out there. And they ain't taking five, you know, Clemson DNs in the first round. All right. And so here's why I say that. I hate putting the cart before the horse, and I hate getting guys thinking about, you know, anything other than today. And when you do, you're setting yourself up for failure. And so our job as coaches to get them to focus on right now, because this is what I get to control right now. And so anyway, that's my rant. I think I ranted.
I love it.
That
was great. That was a great rant
for 20 minutes.
That was a solid rant. Yeah. That's better than any rant I've done.
All right.
Coach, appreciate you.
Thanks
so much.
Yeah, good to see you all.
Absolutely.
Good
to see you as well.
Thank you very much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Magazine, the preseason collector's edition you've come to know and trust for 16 years. It covers
right into Tony Elliott, who's going to tell us about the offense. Look, we just got the I can't imagine. I think Brent Venables just gave us like a 13-minute answer. You're not going to give us any 13-minute answers, are you?
No, I'm going to let you guys ask the questions, and I'm going to try and answer some of the questions that you got.
Well, he definitely brought some fire right there. Are you ready to bring it too, Coach Elliott?
I'm ready to go. You know, very, very excited. Just the newness. Guys getting an opportunity that have been waiting their turn. So it's a different challenge for us offensively. So I'm really looking forward to it. Very excited.
Well, Tony, you've got a lot of changes, obviously, on offense. And we might as well go ahead and get to that because you're going to get asked about that a lot. Starting with the quarterback situation.
Correct.
How close is it between Kelly and the other two guys? And what kind of summer, or the other three guys, what kind of summer they had that it maybe has closed that gap or not closed that gap?
Well, you know, coming out of spring, Kelly obviously, you know, put himself in the pole position. And we're not allowed to be with him during the summer. Obviously, we have some things set up for him to do. But all indications that all of them are working hard. You see Hunter up in the building in his off time. He's doing some virtual reality, putting in that little bit of extra. So I'm excited to see. Obviously, confidence in Kelly right now. If we were to play today, Kelly's going to be the guy. But we got 28, 30 practices before we kick it off versus Kent State. So I'm excited to see how those young guys come back after having spring ball, summer, the skills and drills, and 30 practices. I think it's going to be a great competition.
You know, as far as your wide receiver room, I mean, I wonder about this. How much of a conversation is it with those guys where you're having to catch balls, get on the same page? How much do you rely on those guys to get feedback about the quarterbacks and how they relate to guys just in the passing game?
Oh, no question. In the passing game, it's all about confidence and timing. And so you saw that in the past, those guys, Deshaun had confidence in certain receivers to make certain plays and make certain throws with certain guys in certain situations. So, you know, we'll rely on our eyes as well once we get out there in camp to see how the chemistry is coming along. But all indications, they like working with all of them. All of them bring something a little bit different to the table, but they're all going to have to work within the design of the offense. And obviously, we'll play to each one of their strengths depending upon how the race is determined once we get to Kent State. But, you know, you do rely on those guys, but at the same time, too, they don't sit and watch the film and make all the evaluations as a coach. So it's a combination of what we see with our own eyes, and then we validate it based off the conversations that we have with those guys in that room.
Coach, I know coaches don't like to project too much, and we have some household names, your Deion Kanes, your Hunter Renfros, those guys. Give me a few names that are a little under the radar now. A guy like T. Higgins is not under the radar, but someone we haven't seen play as much that you think is going to have a big year for your wide receiver core.
You know, we're really counting on DeAndre Overton to step up in that spot right there behind Deion Kane. Obviously, Ray McLeod is a guy that everybody knows, and I think he hasn't scratched his potential yet. He's got a ton of upside and been really hard and very consistent this offseason. Cornell Powell is another guy that you're going to see. Don't forget about Hunter Renfrow. I know that he's the household name, but a lot of times, you know, he gets overshadowed by some of the guys that might be more highly ranked or more flashy, but he's just as consistent, as good of a football player as I've been around. So excited to see Amari Rodgers. You know, once he gets going, everybody knows about T. Higgins. So obviously we had a lot walk out of the door, but I'm very excited about the collection of guys that we have that are going to compete.
You've got a running back room that's different now. There's no Wayne Gallman in that room anymore.
That's right.
You've got Feaster and Choice and, of course, C.J. Fuller. So how have the dynamics changed in the room? Who are the guys that you think are going to kind of take over? I know Wayne may not have been a huge vocal guy,
right,
but he was a leader on this team the last couple of years. Among those guys, who do you see stepping into that leadership role? Not even just the running back role, but the leadership role.
You know, I think right now you have, C.J. Fuller has just a totally different demeanor about himself. You're starting to see that alpha male, you know, come out in him because he knows he has an opportunity to go win that job. And right now he's in the pole position. And Adam Choice is a lot like Wayne. He's not very vocal, but he's going to do exactly what you tell him to do when you tell him to do, and he's going to give everything that he has. So he's going to be a leader by example. And then Taven is a young man that I'm pushing because he has everything, you know. He can be a vocal guy. He's got all the ability. But, again, it's a process that he has to go through to mature. So those three guys right there are all pushing, and they know the expectation of whoever's out there, regardless of whether you're the starter or you're coming in, you know, as a second or third guy. Whenever you're on the field, you're the equivalent of the starter because you're next to that quarterback. And everybody on offense is counting on you to be productive. So those three guys I'm very, very excited about, and very, very excited about Travis, too, coming in. I think a lot of people don't know a lot about Travis, and he's a guy that, you know, we got on late in the process, obviously, because of some things, but he's a lot like Wayne. There's a lot of good raw materials there for us to transform and to mold and to shape into something special. And so far, his first couple weeks on campus, he's really caught some people's attention. So I'm excited about the four that I got. Obviously, you'd like to have five, but we got some really, really good walk-ons in the room as well that are going to give us some quality depth. So leadership-wise, I think it's going to come out of Fuller and Choice early on. And then as Taven proves to himself that he's ready, you'll start to see him grow more as a leader.
You know, maybe one of the most frequent questions we got last year is, you know, what's up with Feaster? Why is he not, you know, with all the hype surrounding him? And you guys kept talking about, you know, he kind of had to be taught some things kind of slowly. How is he different as a player now than maybe this same time a year ago?
Well, the first thing is he had a chance to sit there and watch Wayne work every single day. He saw what it looks like to be a starter, to be a leader, to be a guy that is focused on his task. So he had that opportunity to sit there and watch how it's done. And he's coming from a situation where he's always been the best player on the field, always been the best player, you know, in the county, in the state, and things were easy for him. And when you transition to college, there's a lot more that's involved at the running back position. And then he was coming off of an injury where he had his shoulder fixed and didn't get to do track. So again, you know, he's kind of just been going through the motions for a while, waiting on that shoulder to heal, and then boom, you're thrown into the fire and you're asked to go compete against guys like Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence and all those guys up front. And so everything was just happening fast. And so the big thing for him is now he's had a year to watch. Now he's had some success in the games and throughout spring ball. So now his confidence is back to the level where it needs to be. Because at this position, at the running back position, it's all about confidence. And you can easily damage a young man's confidence if you put too much on him too fast. And the way that we play and with the quarterback that we had back there, you got to be able to protect that guy. And there's so much nonverbal communication that takes place that the only way that you're confident in doing that is through repetition. And it's hard to put a guy in there and get in battle reps, you know, and take chances on getting your quarterback hit.
Tony, you're going into a year now as the offensive coordinator without a Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. How does your preparation change knowing that you may have to scheme up offenses for different quarterbacks?
Right. You know, hopefully what people have noticed and respect about what we do on offense, not just myself, but Jeff and the entire offensive staff, is that we try to put the young men in position to be successful. And so we do it. We take pride in making sure we understand what the capabilities are of each individual on our offense, and then collectively, what is our identity. So obviously, a lot of people are seeing what's walking out the door, but I'm looking at what we have in-house, and we've done a great job of recruiting. And obviously, it's a little bit different from a personality and from a physical standpoint, but I'm excited to see, you know, how these guys have developed over the summer once we get them into fall camp, to see what the identity is going to be. So, you know, I'm excited about the challenge. And again, we're going to do whatever we have to do to put the young men in a position to be successful. It's our job to figure out what they're capable of, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, play to their strengths, develop their weaknesses in the process, and then put together a product that hopefully everybody enjoys watching.
You bring up development. Give me a few guys that you've loved this spring and summer on the offensive side of the ball that have really developed.
You know, I like what Tremaine Ingram's doing. Mm-hmm. John Simpson, Falsinelli. Falsinelli is key to our success at that center position. He's really, really developing. I like the confidence that Sean Pollard has on the offensive line. You know, Taylor Hearn. You know, Taylor Hearn's gone from a guy that you know, we knew could play but was very, very raw coming out to now. He's a leader, you know, on that offensive line, not just on the offensive line, on the team. You know, Mitch is consistent. You know, I'm pleased with Feaster. I think when y'all see Feaster, he's up to about 220 pounds. He looks good. So you're starting to see the physical development. You're starting to see the maturity. You know, Choice is coming along. Again, some of those guys in the wideout group, Cornell Powell, DeAndre Overton, talking about the tight ends, that's going to be critical. Mm-hmm. Really, really like the state of mind that Mylon has right now, just the confidence that he has, knowing that he has an opportunity to go be the guy. It was a big loss when we lost Garrett, but I anticipate we'll get him back at some point, and he's working hard. And just all the guys have really, really embraced their opportunity, and they've been waiting their turn. Now it's their turn, and so you just see a little bit of fire, and I hope it carries over once we start practicing.
One of the most fascinating things we heard at ACC football kickoff was Zaire Alexander from Syracuse. I think Kelly asked him, was there a team that sort of replicated for you the tempo that you see at Syracuse? And his answer was Clemson from 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he played against you guys last year. He didn't say last year's team. My question to you is, with a new center, new quarterback, will the tempo part of it, will that be a work in progress, or are you guys trying to hit the ground running day one with that?
Oh, no question. We're going to base out of being aggressive and playing with tempo, but at the same time, too, you got to be sound. And a lot of what Deshaun brought to the table, you know, over the past couple of years is the ability to make us sound while playing fast, and then in certain situations he could slow down, especially on third down, and get us into the right play call. So, obviously, we'll start with tempo, and then as the identity is revealed of this offense, because again, each offense is going to have its own identity. Obviously, the 2015 team was different than the 2016 team, where we were a heavy run team until Deshaun was comfortable. Then we took off with the pass, whereas last year we had to lead with the pass and we had to be efficient running the football. So I'm anxious to see what the identity of this unit is going to be, and that's going to determine, obviously, your tempo. It's going to determine some of your short yardage situations. It's going to determine a lot of things that you see on Saturdays, but we won't know that until we start working with these guys and get our 28, 29, 30 practices and see what the identity of this team is.
Coach, one other thing about the identity. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to know, how much will the offense change? Mm-hmm. Now, you've talked about you are what you are, and you'll mm-hmm. find a way mm-hmm. to get the best out of the players you have. But when you're talking about lining guys up, you don't have that Jordan Leggett anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to, you're going to go four receivers, mm-hmm. even five receiver sets. Right. You've got so many guys. How do you use your personnel and still stay within who you are?
You know, I think that if you look at over the last 2 years compared to what you saw the previous four with Chad, a lot of the formations, a lot of the motions, and a lot of the things are the same. You know, obviously there's been a little bit of a branch off with the addition of the quick game, the quick passing, some more of the empty stuff that we did with Deshaun. But we're going to use the core offense, and then as we identify the strengths and weaknesses of the personnel, then we'll try to formation and move those guys around, get them in different spots to run the same plays. And so again, what you saw is it may look different if it's Jordan catching it, or if it's Deion catching it, or if it's Ray Ray catching it. It doesn't matter who's catching it. It's the same concept. We just move guys around within the formation, because again, they may have a strength for that particular play call.
Visiting with Tony Elliott, co-offensive coordinator for the Clemson Tigers. You guys early in the season, you get Auburn second week, you go on the road to Louisville, who lost some but certainly returned mm-hmm. some talented players. I mean, this is going to be sort of a trial by fire, and for that reason, a lot of people are going back to the last time you guys had mm-hmm. a non-incumbent situation at quarterback. Do you see similarities to that from a few years ago in terms of the way the schedule sets up and tests you guys?
You know, it's as Coach says, embrace the target. Embrace the target, and we know that if we take care of Clemson, we're going to have an opportunity in every game that we play. But we also say, mo hotter, mo better. So we want to jump into the fire, and the only way that we're going to – and that's how we've ascended to the position that we are as a program, is by going out and playing the best and challenging ourselves. And you'd be surprised, when you set that bar high, people have a tendency to rise to the standard, as opposed to if you set that standard low. So we're looking forward to the challenge. Obviously, we know it's not going to be an easy task. We're going to have to do a great job, as good a job as we've ever done offensively, to have our guys ready to play right out the gate. Obviously, we don't have necessarily a Georgia or a big name, but again, you can't overlook Kent State. They're sitting there. They've had all summer to study us. They're coming down here with something to prove, and so we have to make sure that our guys understand that it doesn't matter who we're playing. There's a standard that we have to play to, and we got to set that standard with this new offense. As soon as we start a fall camp, we got to maintain that standard, and we got to be ready to be clicking on all cylinders when we come out the gate.
There you go. Tony Elliott is ready for the challenge of a new season and a new offense and everything that's going to come with it. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate your time. 105.5 The Roar. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
The countdown is on. 46 days till Clemson Tiger football.
Right-footed kicker. Snap. Hold. The kick is blocked. Blocked to the line of scrimmage and picked up by Pitt. But that'll be it. Clemson comes up with a block, the second time this year that Blewett has had a kick block.
Every thrilling minute on the flagship station for Clemson football, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Tiger Express Car Wash in Clemson on Highway 123 gets your vehicle clean and dry in about 3 minutes. Tiger Express Car Wash is an extreme, high-sensory car wash experience with a jungle theme that kids love. Tiger Express offers monthly packages and a 24-hour rain guarantee. Tiger Express Car Wash in Clemson always has free vacuums and microfiber towels for your convenience. Visit Tiger Express Car Wash on the web or like us on Facebook. Tiger Express, next to the Pizza Hut in Clemson.
A small business owner asked me recently, why should I use you? My answer kind of surprised him. I'm not sure you should, because I don't know what you need yet. Turns out this business owner felt helpless and alone in trying to deal with insurance and employee benefits. Our clients know we are in their corner, fighting, and everything we do is designed to make your life easier. In fact, one client said about one of my people, "I wish there was a way to nominate you for being the best employee I have ever dealt with in any industry." Are you feeling lost and alone when it comes to insurance and employee benefits? You don't need to be. Call us 467-8738 and let us know how we can help you. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
One of college football's greatest traditions happens at every Clemson home game. The players run down the hill and into the valley, everyone rubbing Howard's Rock to the excitement of Clemson fans everywhere. What you wouldn't know is that Howard's Rock has its own security system from Blue Ridge Security Solutions. The Rock is worth protecting, and these are the same people that protect my home, too. I'm Dabo Sweeney from Blue Ridge Security Solutions.
BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Serious Security. 888-407-SAFE.
What business doesn't like to save a little money where they can? Crute LED has partnered with Duke Power to do just that. Whether you need LED tube lights, $4 after rebate, LED high bay fixture, $79 after rebate, parking pole light, $99 after rebate, or 6-inch down lights, $4 after rebate, Crute LED will pass on Duke Power rebate up front to you with a verification of your business's Duke Power bill. Visit online at CruteLED.com or visit their office at 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson, right before J. Peters on exit 19B.
From the backwoods to city streets, Firestone Destination Tires take you anywhere you want to go. Designed to be responsive with solid traction, there's a Firestone Destination Tire for you. So whether you drive a truck or SUV, drive a Firestone. Available at Westar Tire and Alignment, your local tire shop. Come on down to Westar Tire on North Murray Avenue in Anderson. Here you'll find seasoned mechanics, state-of-the-art products, and the best customer service around. And of course, all at a low price. Only a locally owned dealer like Westar Tire can do that. Whether you have a big job, a small fix, or just need some free friendly advice, Westar Tire has been getting cars, trucks, and SUVs back on the road in no time. Celebrating 50 years in Anderson. Find the peace of mind you deserve at Westar Tire while keeping your wallet full. So visit Westar Tire and Alignment on North Murray and Anderson or online at westartire.com. That's Westar Tire in Anderson, your local hometown one-stop tire dealer, especially when you need one.
The Press Box with Brad and Ben.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
On WCCB 105.5 The Roar. And now, Brad Sinketh and Ben Milstead.
And this hour of our program, live from the Reserve at Lake Huey, is brought to you by Custom Collision of Anderson. Go by and see him if you need him. We always assume that you're not going to get in a car accident, right? I mean, you never want to say, you know, thank God for Custom Collision because I'm about to go need them right now.
Right.
But if you need them, you know that you can call a place that's family-owned and operated. They have one goal in mind, and that's to treat you just like family. It's unbelievable, the service that they give you. They work with the insurance company. Ben Milstead knows. He has used them multiple times. We won't say how many times. Multiple times to repair vehicles for his family and has spoken so highly of them. And you know something? Anytime you can get just a little bit of an ease of conscience, a little bit, just a little bit of that load off after a situation like this that creates a lot of stress, you want to do that. Ask Ben Milstead about Custom Collision. He'll tell you great stuff. Call him if you need him, 231-6900. That's 231-6900, or go visit them if you need to, 4490 Liberty Highway in Anderson.
We are still live here at the Reserve at Lake Kiwi. We're going to be having defensive line coach Todd Bates coming up here shortly. Boy, Brent Venables, we've had some great people today already, Robbie Caldwell and Brent Venables and Tony Elliott, but Venables said some really interesting stuff, and it's typical Venables, I think, to downplay his team. He literally could have 11 first-round NFL draft picks, and I think he would still tell us that they got to start from scratch, and it's you know, everybody's got to prove themselves.
You know, part of the question I was trying to get to before he just, you know, kept going was, you know, he's downplaying this front, But does he take a different tact with that second and third level, or does he sort of be the yang to the yin from Dabo Swinney, where Dabo is playing a disrespect card all the time? He's looking for ways, to play a disrespect. Brent Venables is like, dude, people are saying stuff about you. Don't care about that. That stuff's dumb. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like two sides of the same coin, where Dabo's saying, hey, nobody talked about you. Brent Venables is like, well, they shouldn't have talked about you. You haven't done anything. So they kind of work well together and complement each other, I think.
Yeah, and he talks about how his head's not in the sand.
Yeah.
You know, and he's quite aware of what people are saying about his unit, and he's got to balance that and figure out how to motivate these guys and not let them think that they're already there. Because if there's one thing he wants them to understand, the road to get there is long and difficult.
I do think the depth question was kind of answered inadvertently in that, of course, yeah, Coach Venable said that no one's proven anything, but we do know that Christian Wilkins is going to be a monster and Dexter Lawrence and guys like that. But he did say that he referred to the 2014 season when they were 10 deep on the D-line and Kevin Dodd and Shaq Lawson were backups. I mean, we're not starters. And he kind of said that he's still waiting to see if they can be that deep this year. I do think the depth on the D-line is, I'm not saying it's a concern, I'm saying it is a discussion. You know, it's a topic. You have so much talent at the top, but what about the depth?
And now we've got Todd Bates joining us, the new defensive line coach for Clemson, and joined us right now. I don't know if Todd Bates knows how much he's been a topic on our show. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
We go to toddbates.org quite frequently, especially like if we're having a bad day.
Inspiration.
The poem of the month has been a feature of our program. So thank you so much for that and your inspiration.
Man, I appreciate it, man. I tell you what, I just try to uplift, and that's been something I've always done, and just try to motivate and inspire others, man, to be their best.
Todd, I want to know, first off, what's life been like? I mean, it's a whirlwind when you got to move and you're starting a new job and you're figuring things out and you're walking into that incredible building. How have you juggled all of life and work?
Man, you got to keep moving, man, and you got to have a good support system. My wife has been phenomenal. My kids and everybody here at Clemson, man, they've been like a crutch, man, holding us up and helping us along the way. And you can't ask for a better support system than what we have here at Clemson. They make the transition easy, and you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, man, and really going after it. And that's what I feel like I've done since I've gotten here. It has been a whirlwind. It has been, you know, from January until we had vacation, I felt like it was nonstop. But, man, it's been a great ride, and I'm looking forward to what the season has to bring.
Todd, your first year here at Clemson, your defensive line is going to feature Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Cleland Farrell, Austin Bryant. Does it get any better than that for you in your first year?
It does not get any better than that, man. I'm looking forward to what those guys are going to bring to the table, because they've had a great summer, and they're not resting on a reputation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They come to work every day, and they challenge each other. They push each other, and they always trying to get better. And what more? That's like a coach's dream. Mm-hmm. Those guys doing that themselves. And when you check in with them, they're right on the money with where we are. And I'm just looking forward to them finishing. They'll wrap up and they'll get a little vacation, get a little break time before we report back on the 1st of August.
What was it like, your relationship with Coach Sweeney developing? I know there were like some camp interactions and things like that. I mean, what was that like to build to the point where he says, hey, we want you to, you know, come help us defend a national championship?
Man, I tell you what, I mean, that's a God thing, because I tell you, man, I've always just tried to stay in touch with him, because I saw what I know recruits see their first time on campus, my first time coming to Clemson and working camps, that it's a special place, that it's a, you know, family environment, and just an atmosphere where you can grow and develop. And I think that, I was telling somebody earlier, I think that's one of the big parts of success, is knowing where you will bloom, knowing where you'll grow the most, and what environment suits your skills. And I think from the first time I came here, I just knew that about Coach Sweeney. And you can tell that he's just special, and he has a gift for people and his leadership. So I knew that I would grow the most under him, man. And it's always been a dream of mine.
This is probably a question better asked to your players, but I'll ask you, what kind of coach are you? Are you in your face, fiery? Are you a technician? What is your special? What's your personality?
I'm a technician, man, and I'm going to teach you. And when it's time to get in your face, I can get in your face. I think it's a time and a place for everything. And sometimes players need that. They need that. Oh, man, I got to get him in the zone because we need a big play right now. Or we need to make a stop right now. But other than that, on a day-to-day basis, I think it's something to being, you know, even keel, being the same no matter what time of day you come, and then being transparent with your emotions where they don't have to guess if you're having a good day or a bad day. And that's what I've kind of hung my hat on as far as my style of coaching. And I think it's important that you be you. You know what I'm saying? Coach your personality and stay true to that, because end of the day, they need to know who they're coming to that sideline and talking to. They need to know that, hey, oh, man, that's coach. Because whether it's, you know, fourth and one and it's for the game, or whether it's fourth and one and we're up by 30, again, you need to be the same guy. Mm-hmm. Because you never know, you know, when we get in a big game, or when every one of them big. And that's what I try to hang my hat on.
You know, Coach Venables has been around your defensive line for a while. You're kind of new on the scene here. But his message, I mean, we just heard him go off on it. You know, you guys haven't done anything yet. And we know right. That's not, you know, that's not altogether true, because these guys have accomplished things in previous seasons. But the point is valid. Is your messaging the same to
it's
these guys?
The same.
They got to start from ground zero?
It's the same, man. You never rest on your reputation. That's something that I learned from having four different head coaches during my time as a player. Of my college career, you never get a chance to rest on a reputation. You build on it. That's what a reputation is made for. It's made to build on and further. So you don't take in things that you did last year to the next year. You start over. You hit the reset button, and you clock in. You lock in, and you go back to work. And that's the type of mentality that we want our players to have. And you know, there's times when you want them to draw from their experience. That's never a bad thing, because we have 27 juniors, mm-hmm. and 22 sophomores. Those guys all they're 2 years in Clemson. They played in 2 national championship games, so it's not their first rodeo. It's not their first time playing in big games. But at the same time, being able to humble yourself and hit that reset button and know how to build it again, know how to get there. So they've been there and done it. But the only thing that's better than being there and done is going and doing it again. And that's the mentality they have. And you watch them work, and you see that every day. They're trying to get better. They're trying to push themselves to another level. And they do a great job of that.
Coach, you bring up the guys who have that reputation already. Think of the Christian Wilkins on your D-line. Give me some names, some guys who you think can really fill in those depth roles that maybe aren't household names yet, but can get that way.
Well, man, we've got a lot of guys that need to take that next step, mm-hmm. and have had a great summer, had a great spring. And, you know, the Albert Huggins of the world, the Jabril Robinsons, the Niles Pinckneys, the Sterling Johnsons, you know, you need those guys to step up and to grow up fast. And, you know, a couple of those guys are freshmen. You know, Niles Pinckney would be a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. But he's had a good summer, and those guys, man, I just look forward to them finishing the work that they started in the spring, and again, building on a reputation. Even if they hadn't done it yet, it's because they hadn't had the opportunity. And now they're met with an opportunity, and we'll see how much we can get them prepared to go.
Todd, in college football, you know, you can't just run the same 4 guys out there every play. You've got to constantly rotate and get the right players in and give guys rest. How do you and Coach V kind of work together and get to know each other in terms of how you're going to substitute and how you know when guys need to come in and out?
Well, man, I tell you what, man, the strength and conditioning program we have is second to none. And those guys work really year round to improve endurance and to, you know, improve strength and to be able to maintain throughout the season what you've got and to even finish stronger than what you started. And I think that's a big key. I mean, of course, what you were talking about is the way offenses are going tempo these days and, you know, playing more and more snaps. You do have to have people to spell you. And that's what you tell those guys, those names I just mentioned. That's why it's so important that they attack the day the right way, that they come to the weight room with a mentality to win the day. And I think they've done a great job of that this summer, and I can't wait to get started with them.
You know, you talked about new, and I know we got to wrap it up here. We got about a minute left. You talked about being new in town and you know, trying to get settled. Did you get a chance to go on vacation, or was the summer about getting everything squared away before the season starts?
I got to go to Myrtle Beach, stayed on Surfside for about a week, and really enjoyed that, man. The family got away with them, and got to reset a bit. You know, it's very important to get away and to reset a bit, but you know, after about 2 weeks as a coach, you start to look around and say, man, I got to find something to do. I have some work I can get done. And that's what, you know, and recruiting never stops. So you always have to keep it on that. But also, you know, it's important to have that family time and to get away. So we really enjoyed Myrtle Beach. I can tell you, we'll be going back next summer.
All right, Todd Bates, thank you very much, the new defensive line coach at Clemson. We greatly appreciate your time.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Awesome, man. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Right. And before we go out to break, I want to tell you this hour has been brought to you by our friends at Harrys.com. If you want to get the best shave on the market, I can promise you that Harrys is where you go. If you want to get great motivational poetry for your day, ToddBates.org. Harrys.com, though, the place to go to get great shaving supplies. If you need that starter set, they're going to give it to you for free. It's absolutely unbelievable. You're going out of town for the summer. Take that starter set with you. They are going to give it away. Just cover the shipping costs for the ergonomic razor handle, the five precision engineer blades, the lubricating strip, the trimmer blade, the rich lathering shave gel, the travel blade cover. I partnered with Harrys to bring you this incredible offer. And go to harrys.com/OOB5. You can get it right now. Get started today for just a few bucks in the shipping. Get that free trial offer. The handle, the blade, the shave gel, the travel blade cover. Go to harrys.com/OOB5. That's harrys.com/OOB5. Do what I've done and 3 million other guys have done. Don't wait. Get started with Harrys today. Hour 3 coming up next from the Reserve at Lake Kiwi.
A Blue Ridge.